Welcome to the Women in STEM podcast, your go-to destination for exhilarating journeys through the triumphs and challenges of extraordinary women, shaping the world in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I am your host, Kelly, and together we will explore the stories of visionary tech CEOs, groundbreaking scientists, and insightful recruiters, and many more women. Making this podcast a dynamic showcase of global talent. Join me as we unravel the stories behind their success, offering a first-hand account of their experiences and invaluable advice at every stage of their remarkable career. Get ready for a thrilling exploration of innovation, resilience, and empowerment as we amplify the voices of trailblazing individuals, breaking barriers and building a future where brilliance knows no boundaries. This is the Women in STEM podcast, where inspiration and knowledge collide to propel us forward towards limitless possibilities. Would you please like to introduce yourself and tell people about your current occupation?
For having me, Kelly. My name is Shalmina Abji. I'm a gender equality in leadership advocate, and I was a former vice president at IBM. And my goal is to help career women maximize their leadership potential.
Wow, those are some big hitter names that you've just mentioned in this very short introduction. So I'm really looking forward into getting to learn a lot more about you. But I know that you've recently came out of your book, Show Your Worth. And I was just wanting to understand what inspired you to write your book. And can you, kind of give us some context around it?
Of course. And so just to give you a little bit of my background, Kelly, I grew up in humble beginnings in a small town called Mwanza in Tanzania, which is in East Africa. I was motivated to obtain a college degree because it was painful to watch my mom work so hard to cook for others. We sold food on the street. And so at the age of 15, I left home to pursue higher education, firmly believing that if I had a degree, I could lift my family and myself out of poverty. And so that journey, and you can read all about me online, but that journey brought me to United States. I got a degree in computer science. So I'm a woman in STEM. And I was here as a foreign student. So it was difficult to find a job because I didn't have the right visa status. But I was very fortunate that one company hired me. And, when I first started, I was ecstatic, right? The $27,000 a year that they offered me was more money than my parents could make in 10 years. And so I thought, this was it. We're never going to be poor again. But then when I showed up to work, I realized I was the only woman of color in a company of 2,000 engineers. And I also realized that most of them had gone to Ivy League colleges, better ranked universities than I did, Harvard, MIT, Carnegie Mellon, all the big names in the US. They were obviously more experienced. They spoke better English and I started comparing myself to them and I thought, oh my God, what would I know that they don't already know? What value am I going to create? My ideas really won't matter. And that instilled fear of speaking up. But fortunately for me, every adversity was something that I learned from and I grew from. And within a year, if I didn't figure out a way to contribute unique value, not just any value anyone else can contribute. And this is a key takeaway. People will keep you on a job if you create unique value so you are not easily replaceable. You become essential to the success of that organization. And that's exactly what I did. I faced my fear of speaking up, found my voice, and I contributed such unique value that the company decided to spend the money. It was a technology startup company, and it costs a lot of money to process somebody's visa. But they did because they saw the value that I was creating for the organization. So I started from there, being afraid to speak up. And that company shut down in 3.5 years. And then I joined IBM. And through the help of a lot of people, I became one of the highest ranking women of color at IBM, hired, promoted, gave raises to thousands of professionals, ran billion-dollar businesses. And I too wanted to help others just the way others had helped me become successful. So while I was working, I was mentoring women. I was also on the board of an organization called Young Women Empowered, another United Nations Foundation initiative, Girl Up. And every time I was able to help someone else be successful, I felt like I was honoring the people who had helped me. And that feeling of helping someone was so intense and so fulfilling that at the peak of my career in 2014, I left my corporate role to mentor hundreds of people, to speak at corporations, universities, conferences about advancing in your career. And when I saw that my insights were helping these women transform their career trajectory, a lot of these women didn't think that they could be leaders. A lot of these women felt like they were not meant to be leaders. They were struggling with internal barriers, external barriers, a lot of what I had struggled through. And when they started thriving, I was motivated to write a book because I figured if my insights can help hundreds of women, it can help millions of women. So that's the journey of me writing the book. They inspired me.
That's such a wonderful journey. And I think I can definitely relate to parts of your story where you're kind of highlighting imposter syndrome, kind of feeling like the odd one out. And I know that so many of our listeners, as I mentioned, they are worldwide, kind of are going through similar issues and are in a lot of different states in their career. In your book, Show Your Worth, you discuss the importance of defining short and long-term successful intentions. Can you share your insight on how women in STEM can navigate and define success for themselves in a strategic manner?
Yes, but first let me touch base on what you talked about, imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing. It's a made-up thing. It's someone has led you to believe that you don't belong here. But frankly, no one can lead you to believe anything. You have to believe that yourself. It's a voice in your head. If this voice tells you, you don't belong here, it's your voice. You just tell the voice, I belong here. Mm-hmm. I have really earned to be here. And the society is making such a big deal out of, oh, I'm having an imposter syndrome. So everyone thinks, oh, it's normal to have that. No, it's not normal. You have earned the right to be where you are. Are you an imposter? Are you acting to be someone you're not? If you're not, then why do you have an imposter syndrome? I get very passionate about this because it was instilled in me too. Oh, I don't belong here. Or my own head instilled it in myself until I realized this is just a voice in my own head. And I've worked really hard to get here. So I want all your audience, just because you don't see anyone that looks like you in any leadership roles, don't start undermining yourself, underestimating your worth, and thinking that you don't belong there. These are all voices in your head that you have the ability to shift. It's your voice. It's your mindset. You can shift it whenever you want. So now to your question of intentionally defining what success means to you. And in my book, in the very first chapter, I ask women to think big and to define where they want to be in 5 years. And the reason I ask them is because I, for a very long time, settled for success. Depending on where I came from, you know, making $40,000 a year and being able to rent a one-bedroom apartment, I thought I was highly successful. And the good news is because of my previous job in my company who did my green card for me to live in America, I was wired to show up to work, to contribute value at my maximum capacity every single day, because I knew that's the only way I would keep my job. And I knew that was the only way they would process my paperwork. And so even after that company shut down and I joined IBM, I still showed up to create unique value in all my interactions every single day. And that won me a very prestigious award called the Rookie Systems Engineer of the Year. And that award sent me to San Francisco, nice hotel, fine, you know, wine, good food, but also got me to be in a women's roundtable with our general manager, Susan Whitney. And she was one of our senior executives. I was dazzled by her in every way. My boss's boss had asked me to walk her back to his office after the meeting was over. And so on the way back, a 3-minute conversation changed my career trajectory. First of all, she says, "Congratulations, Shalmina, for winning such a prestigious award." And I thought, oh, wow, she knows my name. And then just as casually as someone asks you for your restaurant preference, she says, "Where do you want to be in 5 years?" I looked at her, a glazed look in my eye, and I said, "I don't know." I said, "I get so focused on doing the best possible job in my current role that I don't think about where I want to be in 5 years." And so she said, "Shalmina, it is critical that you do the best possible job in your current role. And it is equally critical to know where you want to go next and next. That way you're always working towards something bigger." And so I want all your listeners to know that they all have potential. And she told me I had potential. And I thought, oh, wow, that means I can do more. I can be more. So your listeners should and must understand that each one of us have leadership potential. And that, especially in STEM, the number of women, especially women of color, up in leadership roles is not good at all. We graduate from college, we enter the workforce, and at the very first promotion level, we get left out. And then at each additional level, the problem gets compounded. So your users really need to define success as wanting to emerge as a leader. And I'm teaching you how to do that in my book. And you must aim high. And listen, it's scary to aim high, but unless you aim high and do things that you didn't think you were capable of doing, you will be settling for small successes and you will never, never uncover what your true worth is and what you're truly capable of doing. So I ask them to be strategic. I ask them to aim high. I also ask you to make sure it's aligned with your values. You have to define your success, personal and professional, on your terms. You can't be defining success, what society is expecting of you, or what you think you're supposed to be doing. You need to really sit with yourself and do some introspection and figure out what's going to make you jump up and down in 5 years. Look back and say, oh my God, that was really hard. And guess what? I did it. That's how you're going to build self-confidence, self-trust, and you will keep defining success at a higher and higher level. So you will emerge as the most senior executive in whatever field that you're choosing to do. So very, very important to define success intentionally, strategically for 5 years, and then define a shorter term success that becomes a stepping stone and moves you closer to your 5-year definition of success. Your definition of success drives everything. It drives how you show up to work. It drives the choices that you make. It is your compass to dictate how you spend every single day. Because success doesn't happen one fine day. Success happens every day when you show up to work. When you show up to work to show your worth every single day in every interaction, then you will achieve your success way faster than you ever imagined.
I think that's a great answer, and you definitely hit the nail on the head. With regards to success, it can be something that some women can find intimidating, as you mentioned previously with regards to you explaining. And what advice or personal experience would you give to people who they have their goals, they know where they want to be in 5 years times, they're looking into leadership roles, they kind of have big dreams, but currently they're experiencing setbacks that are kind of making them feel like the goal that they're wanting to achieve maybe is too big and they want to maybe just stay in the current box or situation that they are in.
Okay, so just defining a five-year vision of success will not get you there. You have to be very intentional and very strategic. That's why I've written the book. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to allocate your attention only to your top and strategic priorities. You have to structure your days around your top priorities and say no to everything that's a lesser priority. So figure out what setbacks are you experiencing. It's never a setback. It's just a lesson learned. So mm-hmm. when you are facing challenges, that doesn't mean you give up on your dream. That just means you figure out why are you facing the challenges? How are you going to overcome that challenge? And then keep moving. Because when you face challenges, you are positioning yourself to learn and to grow. So challenges are a great gift. They're not called setbacks. When you cannot overcome a challenge, that doesn't mean that you had a setback. That doesn't mean you became a failure. All it means is you have some more learning to do. You have some more growing to do. And when you learn and when you grow, you are able to make better future decisions. So there is no such thing as setback. Get that out of your mind. There is no such thing as failure. Keep pursuing your goal with a learning and growing mindset.
So you mentioned about how one should utilize their day, being very intentional. What are kind of like your opinions and the strategies that you utilize for work-life balance? I know that's become a very popular term, like work-life balance, and I wanted to hear what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah. So Kelly, women, no matter how much we love our careers, we are never just about our careers. We are sisters, we are wives, we are daughters, we are caregivers, we are volunteers, we are friends. And each one of these roles brings meaning to our life. And they energize each one of these roles energizes the other. It energizes us. So we bring that energy to wherever we go. But here's the thing is when you have too many things vying for your attention, then you dilute your attention and you stretch yourself thin and then you get burnt out. And so just as you focus your attention on your highest and most strategic priorities in your work, you do the same at home. You do not waste your precious attention on anything that is not aligned with your definition of success. That means you give up scrolling on Facebook or Instagram or just go there with an intention. Take what you want out of it and then go keep pursuing your personal and professional definition of success. You don't waste time doing things that don't move you closer. And then let me also share one more thing. In my book, I take you through this, right? I talk about intentional attention. There's an entire chapter around work-life balance. But I also ask you to set aside 30 minutes every week to really do a self-evaluation, to reflect upon how did you do last week? Did you focus your attention on your best and biggest and most important priorities? If not, don't beat yourself up. Don't belittle yourself because you can't belittle yourself to greatness. What you do is you learn, you course correct, and you quickly move to celebrating the successes you had. Because women are wired to beat ourselves up. We are such harsh critics of ourselves. And then we deplete ourselves of energy to pursue our success. Instead, what we need to do is, yes, we want to learn. Yes, we want to course correct. But we quickly want to celebrate our successes. That builds a success mindset. And these small successes become transformational successes over time. And it also energizes you to pursue your success. Your productivity goes up because now you're energized to pursue your success. So learn every week, celebrate every week, and re-energize yourself to pursue your success even more meaningfully and more deeply every single day and every single week.
Yes, it's definitely an ongoing journey and you always have to keep on moving forward and keep on re-motivating yourself. I know that you have a chapter dedicated to growth, and growth often happens when somebody's outside of their comfort zone. What type of tools can a woman in STEM utilize to accelerate their growth or embrace opportunities that they may initially find challenging or unfamiliar?
I love this question. So before we go into growth, let me talk about intentional value creation. I touched on that a little bit. So your ability to create value for your organization is directly proportionate to your competencies. And so that's what I was doing. I was using all my competencies to create value until I had that conversation with Susan. And then once you start going towards your five-year definition of success in which you are aiming high, you must force yourself outside your comfort zone so you can grow your competencies. And when you take on such an assignment, first of all, there is no such thing as failure. It's all about lessons learned. I want you to look back. That is the tool. I want you to look back at how scared you were when you took that assignment. And frankly, if you're not scared to pursue that assignment, you're not stretching yourself outside your comfort zone. You must be scared. You must not feel you're fully qualified to take on this role. And I give you several examples in the book of how to do this exactly step by step by step. But in the little time that we have here, I want you to understand that it is only when you step outside your comfort zone will you grow your competencies exponentially. So take on those roles that will build relevant and meaningful competencies. And this in STEM becomes even more important because the field of STEM changes so fast. Right now we are on the verge of breaking through artificial intelligence. It changes so fast that if you don't keep your skills relevant and meaningful, you're going to get left behind. And so when you force yourself outside your comfort zone and you look back at how scared you were when you started that role and you figured it out, even if you have to ask for help, by the way, listeners, asking for help when you're outside your comfort zone is a sign of strength. You are showing people that you took a chance on yourself because the world takes you at your own estimate. If you don't take a chance on yourself, nobody else should, and you shouldn't expect them to. So when you are outside your comfort zone and asking for help, ask help from senior executives. This way you will get visibility that you are trying to do something so big that will create so much value for your organization. You will earn mentors, you will earn sponsors, you will learn new skills, you will learn new competencies, and then look back and see how scared you were. That starts building confidence in your own self-trust. So this combination of confidence and competence creates an upward spiral for success.
You mentioned some key relationships that someone who wants to emerge into a leadership role needs, such as a mentor, such as a sponsor. Are there other types of relationships that are very crucial to becoming a leader? And how can they go about cultivating a meaningful relationship?
Yes, the two other types of relationships are relationships with your peers and your boss. And all these relationships are cultivated differently. So I take you step by step by step in my book, how to build relationship with your peers, how to build relationship with your boss. And your relationship with your boss, by the way, makes or breaks your career. It's very crucial that you take the time to build a professional, trusted relationship with your boss because you want your boss to be your partner in your success. And the way you do that is that you contribute success outside of what is required of you. You contribute success towards the success of your boss. And he should know that. You should make him or her aware of it and make her your partner. Show her that you want to emerge as a leader. Demonstrate your capacity to lead by stepping outside your comfort zone, by building relationships, by bringing energy, especially when situation is not good, by bringing solutions and not just becoming part of the problem. All these are ways to earn relationships. Same thing with mentor. Figure out who should be your mentor and why, and then ask them. I'm teaching you how to ask them. I'm teaching you how to sustain those relationships. Because what I also share in my book, in the chapter of intentional relationships, is Alex Haley's quote, "When you see a turtle on a ledge, you know it had help getting there." That's my story. You heard where I came from. The only reason I was able to thrive and rise to the top of my career is because I had these relationships that helped me, these relationships that I could go to whenever I needed help.
That is a wonderful part of your story that you've managed to share, and something that you've definitely highlighted clearly in your book. And I'll definitely recommend that all the listeners go and check out your book, because I found it extremely moving. And I know a key aspect of career growth and development is working on your personal brand, and that it's something that is very important. I know for me personally, having my own podcast has kind of came into my personal brand, and I get recognized for my podcast and people at work recognize me for that. But how can somebody who maybe doesn't have, is not very extroverted or doesn't have much of a portfolio, go about curating their own personal brand and really showcasing their skills?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with being an introvert or an extrovert. Mm-hmm. It's all about value creation. The reason you're being recognized, Kelly, is because of the value you're creating for your listeners. And so everyone needs to know two things. What people say about you when you are not in the room is your personal brand. Every decision about your career is going to be made in a room where you are not present, whether it's your salary increase, your stock options, your awards, your promotion. Everything is discussed in a room where you're not present. What people say about you in that room will determine your career trajectory. And so you need to understand that every impression you are leaving behind in all your interactions is forming your personal brand. Your personal brand is just not a podcaster. Your personal brand is not just your business expertise, but also your characteristics, not just what you do, but also who you are. That is your personal brand. And so what I ask readers, and I have an entire chapter called Intentional Leadership Branding. I ask readers to start building a leadership brand, even though they don't have a title yet. Because when they are ready to get their title, you want to already be known as a leader. And so you become intentional and you become strategic. You figure out, how do you want to be talked about when you're not in the room? What do you want people to say when you've applied for an executive level role? And so once you decide what you want them to say, how you want to be talked about, you then get on a journey to become that person. This is not about pretending to. You wouldn't have a branding of a podcaster if you didn't put in the hard work to create these podcasts and to make sure you're creating value for your listeners. In the same way, if you want to build a personal brand, you have to be working at it. You have to be that person. You have to leave impressions that are aligned with your leadership brand. And then when people talk about you, they will say the things you want them to say. So basically, you define yourself, you define how you want to be known, and then you show up to work every single day in every interaction, being that person, the person that you want to be, the person that you want to be talked about.
You briefly touched on promotions, and promotions are a significant part of a milestone in one's career. And what are some of the four steps that a woman can take in order to properly position themselves to be the best candidate for a promotion that they're looking for in their field?
Yeah. So the first and foremost is become the is by executing upon those strategies, by becoming intentional. First of all, defining success, which, mm-hmm. you know, if you're shooting for a promotion, you've already defined it as getting promoted. Second of all, being intentional about where you focus your attention so your productivity goes through the roof. You will become one of the highest ranked person in your team because you are focusing your attention and structuring your days around your highest priorities. You're even showing your boss that you know how to prioritize, because as a leader, knowing how to prioritize the what the business needs the most is a very, very critical skill. You also have to have a good work-life balance, because if you show up to work overwhelmed and burnt out, no one's going to give you a promotion. No one in their right mind is going to give you more responsibilities when you're already burnt out at your current level of responsibilities. And when you're burnt out, you're basically showing people that you can't prioritize, that you are all over the place and you're working too many hours. The most successful people, in fact, Warren Buffett has a quote: the difference between successful and highly successful people is that highly successful people say no to almost everything. So when you are showing up to work burnt out, you're basically telling people you don't know how to say no to lesser priorities. And I'm teaching you in my book how to say no. The other things are building your leadership brand, getting outside your comfort zone and demonstrating your growth potential. There is research that's done that women get paid and promoted based on their performance. Men get paid and promoted based on their potential. Women, when they step outside their comfort zone, will demonstrate their growth potential. And so then they too will get promoted based on their potential. So you have to do all this. You have to build the relationships. You become the best possible candidate. And then you engage your supporters. You ask them for their help in helping you get this promotion. The influencers, the decision makers, your boss, you have to engage every single one of them. And then you have to have a conversation with your boss that you are interested in getting promoted and create a promotion readiness plan. So then ask your boss, what are the gaps that he sees? And then fill those gaps and remain in continuous conversation and show your boss that you are working diligently to earn that promotion. That promotion has to be earned, and that's how you earn it. And there's an entire chapter in the book called Intentional Promotion, because for me, I want every listener to get promoted, because what I'm trying to do is change the number of gender equality in leadership roles. So this is a selfish ask. If you get promoted, I can achieve my life's purpose. So every single one of you should put promotion as your 5-year or even a 1.5-year or a 1-year definition if you feel you're already ready once you read my book.
I think you've given such a wonderful summary around your book and why people should go and pick it up. Where can people best connect with you, and where can they find your book?
So LinkedIn is my big platform. So please follow me on LinkedIn. And my book is sold everywhere where bookstores are sold, where books are sold. My books are sold in every bookstore where books are sold, online as well as brick and mortar stores. So you should be able to find it very easily. Just Google it and it'll be there.
Thank you so much for your time and for all the value that you've brought to this podcast and all your experience. I definitely recommend for everybody to go out and check out your book. Do you have any closing words or closing thoughts that you would like to share?
This is it. I want everyone to know that they have the capacity to lead. Leadership is a skill that can be learned. When I was growing up, I had no idea that I would even be a leader, let alone a senior executive. But I learned it, and so can they. So step into the leadership pipeline. I'm teaching you how to emerge as a leader. And as you rise, lift others with you. Take them along with you. Together, we can create gender equality in leadership roles. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode with me, your host, Kelly. I hope you've came away from this episode feeling inspired and gained so much more knowledge about women in STEM. Don't forget to check out all my other podcast episodes, as they also have a wealth of knowledge on different topics. Please make sure to check out the description link for my social medias at Kelly_engineer on Instagram, as well as there will be links for other podcasts, as well as links to the podcast guests' information. Thanks for listening.